Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name's Sam Bradley. Ed Sylvester is not here. Boo, it's one of those episodes. I'm kidding, hopefully. Ed is not with us this week. He's very unwell. He's got a tooth issue, bless him. So it's just me this week, and I'm just gonna take you through where I'm at with the campaign, reflect on what's been happening, reflect on where I think it will be going, and then you can get the joy of listening to this back and realising that I was terribly, terribly wrong all the long. Ed's given me some talking points, because I could obviously rabble on for ages, but we'd like to give it some sort of structure, and Ed is nothing if not a puppet master behind the scenes, as we've seen, as he's GM'd this entire thing. So talking point one is, he says, consulting his notes, how do I feel playing the game is going? Interesting question, Ed. I'm so glad you asked. How do I feel it's going? I feel like, I think going in, there was a lot, I think there's more pressure on the player in a one-on-one campaign than there necessarily, maybe not more pressure, a different type of pressure, because it's all on me to kind of drag the plot forward as it is on Ed to present the breadcrumbs, if you will. And obviously the follower mechanics are different, but in terms of how they are structured narratively for a roleplay, it's still kind of the same as D&D. However, there's just me. So I feel like going in, I felt quite a bit of pressure to like be this everyman player, and I had the accent. I'll get onto that in a bit. And I was ready for a very different campaign as well, a very different style of campaign. Obviously, the first few episodes were just this character existing, finding water, finding meat, fighting wolves, losing to wolves. And then it became something else with the introduction of a follower. And I, looking back, that was obviously Ed's sort of training mission, shall we say. It was sort of Ed giving me or teaching me the tools to carry a campaign in terms of the playership. Is that a word? The playership on my own. So I kind of went in with, I have to be this, I have to be that, I have to cover all the bases. And I think if you listen back to those early episodes, there was very much a, I'm that kind of player that's cutting all the angles. Okay, you walk into this situation, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this. Okay, cool, yep, there's more for me to say. Okay, cool. All right, but I want to do this, and I want to roll for that, and I need to roll for that, and I need to check. But I think as it's gone on, and maybe it's the introduction of young and old Brynjolf that sort of made it so I can kind of sit back and interact in like a healthier way, I think, with the world, especially with what's going on at the minute, and we're in the town and there's lots to see. And I think the next episode, Ed will be back for, thank God, we're going to start to explore. And I've now got, hopefully, I'm trepidatious in calling him a follower. We have the Colonel, the goat, the talking goat. So there's that. And I think that will add another perspective on just the world and kind of give me more eyes to see the world through, but also more scope to take in like passive information, so I don't have to be quite as, I want to do this, I want to check that, I want to do this, and I want to do that, because you have other people to do that for you. Now I can go, hey, Brynjolf, go and check the, bring the car around, Colonel, you get inside the bank, that kind of thing. So I think in terms of my playing, like going forward, I'm quite comfy with it, and I do enjoy it, and I think like it's obviously fun, and I get to, as the one player and being me, just being the one player gives you a lot of scope to do silly shit and to really sit in situations and make it funny, because I want to make it funny. And I think one of the things I'm noticing is, like, at least I hope this is how it comes across, is that I'm kind of trying to react to situations with like a knowing wink to the audience, which is you guys, and sort of like, while also respecting this amazing world that Ed has built, and it is fucking amazing. Like, the way he approaches storytelling is traditional, but not like stoic, not like unchangeable. He did that bit the beginning of last episode where I was the goat. And I like to think that I brought something to that goaty situation, because why else? You know what I mean? Ultimately, I like, we love doing it for the audience, but it is also an excuse to sit down and play a one-on-one with your best mate. You know, of course it is. You guys know that, right? Well, if you don't, you do. So I really enjoy, like, Ed's approach to storytelling. And Ed is a very certain kind of storyteller. Like, he presents a situation, okay, react. Okay, cool. And that's really refreshing. As the one player, you get the room to kind of fill the space, you know, but he's very good at controlling all the characters within that space, so you get a lot of shit to bounce off. And, you know, I'd like to think that he and I have a good back and forth, you know. So in terms of playing, like, I feel like it's going well. I don't... And here's another thing. I feel like I haven't derailed anything, any plans that he's had, but I know I probably have, but I don't feel it, which is great. It's really nice to just, like, zag when someone was maybe expecting you to zig, but you as the player don't feel it. And I think in a one-on-one situation, you're probably more likely to feel it because it's just you. There's not someone else saying, oh, never mind that. I want to do this because this is part of my backstory. On backstory, there is a lot of stuff that had come up in the clearing that I'm looking forward to exploring. And a lot of it is, this goes back to testament to Ed, is not stuff I discussed, like when I said I had the vision of the two little girls and there was someone beside me and then the creature put its hand on my shoulder. Like that, the two little girls, is not, you know, that's not anything I discussed with Ed. And the bit about the hunt and being healed, I think, was in an earlier episode, and that wasn't discussed with Ed either. So he's reacting to that and presumably building stuff offset, as it were, for that. So, you know, that's really fun. I feel like it's going well, all in all. I'm having the fucking barrel of fun playing it. Like, I love this ragtag crew because of my own sensibilities with fiction and this kind of thing. I think this ragtag crew of, like, the one-legged religious dude and the goat and then the idiot, which is me. Oh, God, I'm so glad he did that memory loss thing. Like, in the clearing, remember that? It was like... And I had dropped the voice. And I, spoilers, had dropped the voice because I kind of just wanted to drop the voice because it's easier for me to react in that voice rather than in a voice that I have to work slightly harder to put on. But then having the excuse to and being able to turn it around and go, hey, now I've forgotten too. Ooh, magic. Was quite refreshing. So that was very fun. In terms of, like, playing one-on-one overall, it is something I'd recommend. Because I'm aware that there are people out there that don't necessarily have, you know, a group of people they can just click their fingers and be like, okay, so let's do Wednesday night and that's great and we'll all turn up. So I think having a game that kind of promotes the one-on-one-ness that TTRPGs can really offer is really good. And I'm sure people are going to blow up and go, well, you should try this and that and the other. And but well, I haven't because I don't wander far from the trough, and that's probably my shit. But I really like that the Beowulf game kind of has you do that, you know, and has you encouraged to only do one-on-one by building the mechanics and having the followers and having this stuff. It's not an option. It's kind of how you have to play the game. So I really, really like that as a mechanic and how it embroiders the story. And talking of the story, I think I'm close to, like, finding out what's going on. Because I think that the shit in the clearing is maybe linked to what's happening in this place. And, like, whatever was in this place is still here, but also got kind of banished to the clearing. Maybe, I don't know. As I'm saying that, that sounds utterly silly. So maybe there's that. You know, I like the church idea that there's consecrated land. Because my theory is that actually, this thing, the spectral, do you know what I mean? Don't touch him, kick him in the balls. That, you know, the Voldemort shit was here all along. And they built the church and then people were like, it, whatever it is, started to turn people. And they were like, oh, the only thing that's changed is they built the church and they got some goats. So we're going to burn down the church. That's what I think is happening. And I think there's an element of sort of the old bait and switch in terms of the villagers. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, because I think there's going to be a point where I'm going to have to convince them and then actually bring them a fucking head of this spectral craziness that's going round. And I have to do that with a goat and a one-legged preacher who doesn't, you know, and a boat called the fucking Geraint. Oh, I'm not happy with that. Like, you have to be happy. And, the you know, but yeah, whatever. Anyway, so that's what I kind of think's going on. Like, I'm happy to take theories in the Discord about that. What else has he asked me? Let's have a look. A spoiler warning on what Airdwarf's overall plan goal is or where you'd like to see him end up. Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know yet. Because this whole only having like a year's worth of memories is really good in terms of metagaming, because you get that, well, where did he come from? Well, I don't know. That's for someone with a better, bigger, more agile brain to work out, you know. I can feed tidbits to Ed, and I can feed in the tidbits about the little girls or the attack on whatever. But ultimately, it's down to he. So I'm excited of what he builds around those little breadcrumbs that I'm throwing him. And it's weird, because like he's throwing me breadcrumbs of his story, but I'm also throwing breadcrumbs from my story, except the difference is I haven't planned my story. So that obviously forces the burden of work onto Ed. That said, I would like Airdwarf to have any change or crisis of conscience is going to have to be forced, I think. You know, I'd like to think that I've built him in a certain manner, this character, and he is capable of change, but maybe he was once capable of change, but he doesn't remember, and he's stuck in his ways because he's only been in his ways a very short time. He's been in this sort of chuck and run, con and go type setup for quite a while, and I like to think that he is capable of change, but someone's really gonna have to drag him to it. And I think it's probably gonna be Brynjolf. They're gonna be in a situation, he's gonna be like, look, you need to do something, and I'm gonna be like, oh fuck, okay, I'll stay and be king or whatever, you know. So I'd like to see him undergo a little bit of a character arc. I mean, we're 9 episodes in, so I'm not holding out for like anything too major yet. Although, going back to the way the dice, you know, the new gods and old gods, like that is a very sort of an obvious precipice where you cross it and you're like, oh, well, now I'm doing this. So it will affect how I affect the game actively, you know, this church. And I think that's why Ed's maybe set it up like that. There's the church thing and it's like, oh, repent, the old gods are these spirit arseholes whispering in everyone's ear, and the new god, he'll help us. But also, you know, again, he's very resistant to change, his old Airdwarf. So I don't know what that's going to look like. And I'm glad, because I don't want to be able to foresee it. I want it to come as if from nowhere and, you know, blindside me on a Tuesday night, to quote Baz Luhrmann. So in terms of personality with the character, I'd like to see Airdwarf undergo some sort of change and there to be a very defined moment. But I don't want it to be obvious. I want it to be so you look back in 20 episodes and go, oh, that was the minute he became not quite as much of an arsehole. Because I think that's better storytelling, better character development than just going, oh, and all of a sudden this happened and now he's a good man. Because I just think that's kind of boring, really, isn't it? And speaking of backstory, obviously I think we've got as much backstory out of Colonel as we're going to get, because we played it and I really enjoyed it and that was good. And he's a goat. But I think with Brynjolf, I feel like there's a lot. I'm interested to see if those backstories, his and Airdwarf's, cross over at any point. I'm interested to see what's his angle, because there's obviously a nugget of something there. And I've been too, Airdwarf and I have been too bloody bullheaded to see it. So I am interested to see what his story is. And I'd love that maybe if at some point we could, you know, instead of he being brought into my fuck ups, like I get brought into his world and have to react, and maybe that off the back of that there's some kind of change, there's some kind of character development for Airdwarf off Brynjolf's own personal tragedy. That would be quite interesting to see. But overall, I think it's a really fun narrative. That's, you know, it's fun for me to play, and hopefully it's fun for everyone to listen. hopefully back, and we will be back next week with more action and a slightly longer show to make up for this one. He says having not planned that with Ed either, so we'll just see. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everyone that goes on the Discord. I know that there's some stuff that Ed puts on there that I don't look at because it's all story stuff. So if you've been voting on that, or if you have voted on that in the past, more power to you. Thank you so much. I'm glad that everyone gets a chance to be involved with the show. There'll probably be another Ed Wolf's Earworms after the next episode. We didn't really decide on one for the last, the show just gone, so we'll see about that. But yeah, all back to normal. Little one this week, but all back to normal next week. And thank you for listening. Roll well and goodbye. I never get to say that.